All right. So thanks, everybody. Today we have, I always mispronounce people's names, so I'll probably do it to you. Susan Patel. I'm good friend, been to a lot of events. This guy's in the SaaS space. He acquires a bunch of SaaS companies B2B. He's built giant marketing teams, like for all of them, also has a big marketing agency. And he spoke on Croatia about how to, a lot of us have problems with scaling on the marketing side, but how do you hire like executive level marketing people? And Susan has a process. He explains it really well. So this is primarily about how do you recruit and find the right marketing people and bring them onto your team so you don't have to do all your marketing and strategy yourself. So welcome. And also Susan's now in the membership group, so he's available a lot more. That's kind of finally got him in. He just had a recent child and now some couple coming on the way. So he was hesitant, but we finally convinced him to come in. So I really appreciate that. And take it from here.
Awesome, Mike. Thanks for the warm welcome. Excited to be a part of the community and participate. So ping me anytime on the Facebook group. Just confirm you can see my screen.
Yes.
Can you see the whole screen? Like, is it just
I just see how to find and hire the
okay?
perfect market executive web profits in the bottom right.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, I mean, pretty much this is so I've been doing digital marketing and SEO for the last 15 years or so, and doing consulting, you'd think like people come to me for consulting advice, but the best, like the biggest question I get asked or pinged about is like, how do I find a really good marketer? And so over time, I just kind of stopped. I got annoyed at first, right? And then eventually I made a service, like a recruiting service, and I learned why I should not be a recruiter early on. I just don't want to do this as a service. It's painful, but what I've kind of mastered along the way is like hiring really badass marketing people. And this approach, I think, could work for any executive level hire on the sales, marketing, or growth, or like anything really demand gen related. It works because you can kind of cull them the same way. It also works for hiring any level marketing person. So whether it's a mid-level, kind of senior, executive, you know, what have you. This process could work. Obviously, you know, you don't want to maybe put in the same amount of time for, you know, an entry level person. So, yeah, again, a little bit about me. And sorry, it's showing kind of two slides at once, but a little bit about me. I run an agency called Web Profits. And Web Profits is kind of global. I run the US business essentially. We work with lots of e-commerce and SaaS companies as their kind of outsourced marketing team. And then I also have about 11, well, I don't have 11 now, but I've gone through about 11 SaaS companies. I've got 8 now. I buy one or two a year, usually kind of exit one or two a year at the same. And so companies like Mailshake, Voilà, Norbert, a lot in the sales tech space and email space. So Write Inbox, like a big Chrome extension, kind of 200,000 users. And we acquired that and have been growing that since. And so, yeah, like all of this stuff I'm about to share is stuff I've learned the hard way and just kind of figured out by just hacking my way through things and then like kind of dumped the stuff that didn't work and got tired again of interviewing people, hearing kind of BS. You know, marketing people are really good at marketing themselves, and that's
Yes.
frustrating, right? It's like, yeah, they're awesome. Like they're really good at giving you a show. Like it's really good to get a presentation from them, but then you have to kind of cull the bullshit, right? And so this is really processes of things I've learned the hard way of kind of culling that like who's good and what's not. So yeah, the
That should be the
agenda
title
today.
of the talk. It's calling the bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Culling the bullshit, you know, and getting a good marketer, right? Out of it. Because there are good people. You just kind of get like a lot of people waste time going down the wrong route where somebody will clearly fail. And I'll kind of show like how to identify like clear bullshit really early on. So yeah, real quick agenda, like just what makes a good marketer, the anatomy, how and where to find marketers, and then the interview process. So yeah, just jumping in, the anatomy. I think the key characteristics for me are like my minimum goal for a marketing executive is they have to have grown a company at least twice before, right? So like I want to get somebody who's done this not just once but twice. Why
Got it.
not once? Because they could be lucky. I found the hard way that somebody's done it once could have just been at the Facebooks of the world where that company's growing. I know as a marketer, when I look back at my career, I've been at companies where I did marketing for a company called SlideShare. It sold to LinkedIn. I can tell you, it was not how awesome a marketer I was that made this company successful. It was their product. It was their marketing. Mm-hmm. I added some SEO elements and some virality to it, but like, it wasn't my doing. At the time I did it, I was too dumb to know that. Right. And so twice over, right? First time you figure out, the second time you do it, like, oh yeah, I was lucky the first time. Ability to get their hands dirty. The worst characteristic, in my opinion, of a key executive marketer is that they're too hands off. They're just like, I don't know. I don't know how to use this software. And that's not how the world works anymore. Somebody needs to get in the CRM. Somebody needs to get in your email marketing. Somebody needs to go into the talk to dev and like get their hands dirty. Experiencing managing people and projects should be a pretty no-brainer. Like, they've got to have done that. Make sure people have managed projects, not just people as well. Managing a project is very different, right? Seeing something from start to finish with other people like devs and sales, product people, what have you, is a requirement. And then this is something people mistake, and this is kind of a shiny object, is they have hands-on experience with your three top marketing channels and your business model, right? So like, I could, you know, the best marketer in the world, like best marketing person at Facebook is completely irrelevant to me. The best e-commerce marketer is completely irrelevant to me because I run a B2B SaaS company in the sales space. Like, I may not necessarily need somebody that does B2B SaaS in sales at my exact company size, but I definitely want somebody who's done B2B and sales, you know, in their past roles. Otherwise, it's not relevant. Or like, we do very little PPC at our businesses. And so if I find a marketer that's amazing at PPC, if that's not my core channel, their skills are not useful to me. So again, very common mistake. Like, you kind of get caught off guard by like how good that person is, and you forget to apply how good that person could be at your company. And then I would say, I've already covered the works with product sales development teams, but really uses data to kind of inform marketing decisions, right? What I mean by data is like, they can work, a good marketer these days is going to work with many tools, many data points, and can kind of put together an email sequence, a landing page, some custom, you know, maybe some personalization of content based off where they came from. But they need to be able to like work with data or multiple tools and multiple kind of inputs. And so just having experience doing that is very, very key going forward, especially. Cool. So this is kind of basics of a T-shaped marketer. I don't want to get into it too much, but really the T part is their core channels of expertise. This is kind of mine, content marketing and SEO. And then it's kind of the other parts of it, like I know about, but I'm not an expert in. So
can you zoom it? Like, it's pretty small because there's two slides. Do you mind?
Yeah, let me.
Thought you were good at software and tech.
Sorry guys. I've got this big wide monitor. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot better. Yeah.
So yeah, I think the big thing here is just to think about your channels and what your problems are today. And make sure you get somebody who has deep experience in that, at least the one or two channels that you've got, and then can kind of check the boxes across some of these other elements. Now, no one's going to be an expert at everything. So just choose your core channels and make sure they align. And the other part is, you may want them to figure out your channels because you might be wrong in thinking what your channels are. So, and I'll get into that in the interview process. I very specifically asked them to like, tell me my marketing plan, and it's kind of a forced audit. So let me just jump into that. So let's talk about how to find that person. Cause it's a.
Way back to the T though. So people can't see it. Can you scroll down? Like, basically it's a matrix, a base knowledge, marketing foundation, and channel expertise. And then basically choose on your thing what you want those to be. So I'm sure you could just play with this, but this, if you can't see it, that's what's going down.
Yep, exactly. And so, you want somebody to have those, like in those two, the T part of it, the where it goes really deep expertise or deep knowledge, they need to be in alignment with what your business needs, right? What you do. So again, you know, my business is heavily on content and SEO. Part of that's me, But the other part is, like, if I'm going to replace myself, I need somebody who has deep expertise in SEO and content. They need maybe to understand PPC, but that's not their core competency.
Are your channels. So at the channel level, they need to be deep in at least like two so they can make it move fast.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Now, the other part of this is, like, highlight as a marketing team, as a company, everything should be highlighted and colored, right? So, like, I look at this, I print it out normally in, like, black and white, right? So I highlight every time I interview somebody what they're good at. And that means I know what I need to build the team around too, right? So, like, for example, there's good badass marketers who know nothing about storytelling because they're so demand gen focused, or they know mm-hmm. nothing about PR. But, like, that just means, like, you might need to hire a PR person or a PR firm, or, like, you know, you need to solve that elsewhere. So I wouldn't dismiss them because they're not amazing at everything. There's just no freaking way you can be good at all this stuff, but you need to be good at the stuff that matters. Again, your three channels and align with that person. All right. So let me jump into how to find this person. That's going to be a key, right? Everybody wants mm-hmm. to know what that is. So really the three basics are LinkedIn, AngelList, and Growth Hacker Jobs. Like, no brainer, right? AngelList, and I'll walk through, like, what to do there. Growth Hacker Jobs, like, generally smart, like, more growth, like, more newer age marketers are there. So the thing you want to look out for AngelList and Growth Hacker Jobs is that they might not be experienced enough, or, like, they might be have worked at a smaller startup that might not fit your size. So again, like, if somebody was a CMO or VP of marketing of a company that's doing $1 million a year versus your company maybe doing $10 million a year, apples and oranges, very different mm-hmm. scale. So hire somebody, again, has done it twice over and has solved that problem. My best place for finding top marketers is influencers. So, like, Brand 24 every year releases, like, this, like, top 100 digital marketing people. I'm on there somewhere. And, you know, there's just a bunch of, like, well-connected people. Sorry, that was a shameless plug. But, like, there's just a bunch of marketers on there, right? Like, it's their clout, their activity, you know, they're following, all that stuff. Download the book. Don't hire any of these fuckers. These 100 people are the worst employees. They probably already have a good business. But the people they know is who you want to look for. And so let me walk through that. So, okay. So Neil Patel, everybody knows that guy, right? Go on LinkedIn, type in VP of marketing in the search. And then go to Neil, and what this view will show you, it might be a little too small here, but what this view will show you is people who are connected to Neil Patel who have the word VP of marketing in their title or on their profile. So these are people Neil knows or connected to him, right? Like, quote unquote knows, that are your fit, right? You could do this with every single person on that list. Right. And it goes into twofold. One is, if you know Neil, if you know any of these influencers, just ask him for intros to people you think are good. Right. One easy way to solve it. Two is, if this is a good place to go with your outbound strategy of poaching or picking, reaching out to people who are potential fit. So I use a tool called Duck Soup, DUX Soup. And what that allows me to do, I'll show you here in the next screen, is it's a Chrome extension that allows me to search, do an advanced search on LinkedIn, and search for the title of that person. I can just do whatever search criteria I do in the search box, and anyone it finds, it actually views their profile. You can automatically do a connection request. You can automatically email them. And so what I do, and then it can also find their email addresses if they have it listed. So what I do is, first and foremost, I go to my profile. I update my title to say we're hiring, and I just view everybody's profile. I guarantee the people who are looking, this generally is my first pass. And I usually get a bunch of inbound people pinging me like, hey, I saw you looked at my profile. You're hiring. What are you hiring for? And I don't even put the job rec out. I've never found a good marketing executive that's applied for a job. Mm-mm. Those people are hunted. They're not going to apply. And so I don't even have a job rec. In fact, I don't even want to share the job rec with them because I want to talk to them. I want to talk to them because I want to, again, that bullshit filter, right? So again, DuckSoup will automate that stuff. Next step is everyone that you've again, looked at that has that, like, is connected to influencer, has title in the search, you're going to find, and then, or you can even pinpoint by location, right? So if you're hiring in Austin or Colorado, what, you know, Denver, whatever, you're going to, that number is going to get small, right? Connected to influencer, has VP of marketing in their title and not CMO. It's very clear VP of marketing. And then in your area, you're going to
probably. Real quick, why not CMO? What's the difference in VP of marketing and CMO?
CMOs are two hands off, generally speaking. Yeah. So the title CMO, you're going to get people who are just, I'm not ageist, but people who are old farts in their skill sets, right? Like, you know, my business partner is like in his late 50s and that guy's freaking sharp, right? He knows his shit. But like, so don't discriminate like based off their age. Look at how much hands-on experience they have. You want the VP of marketing because unless you want a CMO that's going to be like, I need to manage a 30-person team and I'm going to be hands-off. In that case, you might not need to do any of this stuff. But anyways, ping them all, right? You're going to probably like that filter is going to be like your city connected to influencer has VP of marketing in the title. That's going to probably be like 50, 60, 100 people max, right? It's a number you can where you can ping them all and say hi. I always just say like this is the exact template I use, by the way. So just steal this. It says the subject line interested in title position, impressive background. I think you'd be the perfect candidate for a insert position at my company. Here's a job rec. Now the job rec, I always use AngelList to post a job, even if I go on LinkedIn, because I use AngelList's talent manager, which is like their like interview, like their whole like applicant tracking system. And I do this intentionally because I want somebody to get the heck off of the LinkedIn platform. Like to do work, like on LinkedIn, you could be lazy and apply for a job with your profile. Like you don't even have to fill in any details. On AngelList, it's not attached to your LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever. So you actually have to put some work into it, right? So I'm adding friction to weed out the shitty people.
I've never used AngelList. Can you explain in like 1 minute what is AngelList for this particular purpose?
Yeah, so AngelList is like a LinkedIn for startups specifically. It's pretty much like a similar platform for the startup community. And it's really good for hiring technical people. It's used a lot for hiring developers, product managers, and people away from hot startups. So I use that platform essentially to find really, really top talent for the development front, but it's also good for technical marketing people. So like, again, if you're hands off, you work at a large corporation, you probably are not going to even be on AngelList or know about it. So it's like, it's one of those points that like you kind of force them to the platform that has good talent on there. Another thing I do is I email conference organizers and sponsor dinners of those conference organizers. So like Michael, like if I'm going to go buy an e-commerce company, right? Mm-hmm. I know Baby Bathwater has a ton of e-commerce founders, right? I want to go pick what's the easiest way to get like to get in the hearts of the founders, be your friend and like you vouch for me and maybe host a dinner to get everybody together to get my name out there in a neutral way. So conferences are great for that. Obviously Baby Bathwater is more founder, you know, entrepreneur focused. Go to like the growth marketing conference or like any of the 50,000 marketing conferences that are out there, maybe not 50,000, but there's like at least 30 or 40 out there that have a good group of marketing people and tell them what you want and sponsor a dinner. And nice. What you'll eventually do is when you sponsor the dinner, you want to request people, you want to ask the conference organizer, give me the list of people who are attending and then look through all those people and curate who sits around you, right? Get the top people around you and just have a casual conversation, AKA interview them without them being interviewed, right? you're interviewing one to many and chances are maybe two or three people are going to be good from there. This is all of this I'm saying takes time and money, right? Sponsoring a conference isn't cheap. Buying people dinner isn't cheap, but like the alternative is you don't meet the best people out there or you pay a recruiter, 10-20% recruiter fee on a $200,000 a year employee, it's $40,000. It's very expensive. This is way cheaper. So people are cost conscious. Like, this still is cheaper. Another thing I do is I email my competitors' employees. This is my funnest way of hiring. You know, again, what better way to find somebody that's done it before than ping a competitor's employee, right? Or it doesn't have to be their last job. It could be their last job, right? So I hire a lot of people from these competitors or have worked at a competitor just so they have domain expertise. Or specifically larger competitors are good to recruit from. Again, same concept, right? LinkedIn advanced search, but instead of connections, say company, MixMax, so that's a competitor of Mailshake, and, you know, VP of marketing or growth or whatever, and you'll find people. Cool. So I want to talk about the interview process. Here's where, like, you can weed out all the, like, the good from the bad and save a lot of time. So Michael, can you see my screen well, like, on the steps?
I can see it. It's a little small, but there you go. It's better.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'll move it over to the next one. Sorry, I've got like a 40-inch wide monitor, so I see like a bunch of slides on my screen. All right, so here's the interview steps. First and foremost, everyone you think you want to hire them for like an hour or two consulting project. Make one up, right? What I usually have them do is say, hey, I'm looking to get somebody to audit my marketing process and team. Could you do like a 1 to 2 hour kind of consult? Are you up for like a 1 to 2 hour consulting project before you even interview them? And why this is important is you want to get a good working relationship with that person. You want to understand how they communicate. You're going to weed out a lot of bad people this way. And most people will not be up for doing consulting projects, right? And the other way is you want to ask for advice from the same person. You could do this in addition or as a replacement. Ask them for advice on hiring, right? So like, hey, Michael, I'm looking to interview. I'm looking to hire my next marketing executive. You look like a badass marketer. Could I just pick your brain on like how to find people like you? Now, obviously, I'm trying to hire you, but I want to pick their brain. And I actually do want to pick their brain. It's not just a hook to get them on the call.
Yeah.
On the call, I want to pick their brain because I want to know what they're thinking, what makes a good marketer. And if that doesn't align with what I'm thinking, by default, they're likely not a good marketer. So it's that. And you want to do a 15 to 20 minute phone interview. And really early on. So let's just say you hired like 10 people to do an audit on your marketing process. And just say, hey, or like maybe benchmark competitors. That might be an easy one, right? Like, hey, like spend 2 hours looking at like what these two competitors do. Like, what are they doing that we don't do? Like, what should we be doing, right? You don't want to make the project too big because you don't want them to like spend 10 hours on it or pay that much money. And then you can benchmark it against other people. A 15 to 20 minute interview process is just a hi, hello, the person, you know, crackhead, you know, like, are they professional? You know, just like you, as an entrepreneur, you kind of built the sniff test, right? Don't go too much in the weeds here because none of it matters because the next thing will weed out most people. Give them a test assignment. And what a test assignment is, like something that should take like 5 to 7 hours, like a day, right? A weekend. A weekend project, an example of that would be like, okay, I want you to audit everything we're doing. I'm going to give you access to my Google Analytics. Have them sign an NDA. Again, most people won't make it. You're looking at like maybe out of the hundreds of people you've pinged or even looked at, maybe 10 or 12 of them, 10% will look and do a call with you. And they'll pass that. I mean, I do a consulting project with
you. Are you paying for the assignment?
Yeah, maybe, right? I offer, but most people don't take me up on it.
Is that a sign? So if somebody is willing to do it, doesn't matter.
No, it's not really a sign. No, no. Okay. Some people are just like, I'm going to take your money because
let's say it's a VP of marketing position, test assignment. What per hour? Let's say it's 5 to 7 hours. What are you generally paying if you're offering?
Yeah, just say, you know, what's your hourly rate? Like, does $100 an hour? I know it's probably not your hourly rate, but like, would that cover it? And let them know, like, hey, like, this is something I want to interview you for. So if this doesn't work out, you got $500 in your pocket.
So VP of marketing, what are they, a real one that you want, what are they generally charging per hour? Just curious. I've heard 1 to 2 hour consulting project, like what's a ballpark to know they're real, or whether, you know, what's kind of a general ballpark of what they're charging?
Generally like $150 to maybe $500 an hour.
Okay. Big range.
Yeah. It's really wide range.
And then we did get a question like in this, well, maybe later we'll talk about, is later on in this how much you pay people, or can we ask that now?
Yeah. Well, why don't we just jump into that real quick? So,
yeah, so we have a question about VP of marketing, especially in this economy, and what's ballpark?
Yeah. So the range for a bottom end VP would be like 120. With a comp package of maybe 10 to 15% of their annual salary based off of a milestone or goal that you set, or maybe a couple milestones, right? Like what I typically do is I do a three goal kind of system where they get 100% of it. So like one's a company goal, like our company hits we double our revenue. One is a personal goal for them. And then a third one is a personal, like something they level up on, like, hey, I want you to get really good. I want you to get master chatbots. Like, okay. I know you don't know it, but master that. Like, get a chatbot up and running in our site. Like, has nothing to do with, like, does it work? But it's making them do something they're not familiar with, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, hire some three people. You need to go fill some roles, whatever. So it's more of, like, a company goal and a one or two kind of personal goals. Bottom end is 120. Top, there's not really a top. Like, you can get 500K. Salary kind of folks, but reality is probably 120 to 250 is a good kind of range.
You're talking about somebody who's brought in a company to your year two goal twice, right?
Yeah.
So decent person. So you're saying that you can get that for 120 if they've already done that twice on their resume, they're willing to take as low as 120.
Yeah. And then you might want to give them a comp that's like whatever, or maybe you need to give equity, right? Again, equity, I can't really tell you like how much equity you should give, because everyone evaluates the company or what they want to do with their company is different. But I would give a VP of marketing or like a CMO type person, like an executive role, like 0.75 to 1% equity. I don't know if that's a lot or a little, like, you know, but that to me, or like, that's kind of what, like, I would say a Series A startup would give.
Got it.
To a CTO, like their leadership team.
You can find a move the needle. VP marketing has done it twice for 120 to 250.
Yeah, absolutely. Like in between what I'm doing now around Ventures What Profits and my last agency, I took a job and there are plenty of people in that range. I took a job. I think I was paying like 150, 160 and there was a commission or whatever. But like, yeah, I mean, the market range is like somewhere there. And the reality is this whole COVID situation, there's a lot of good people, but the costs aren't any cheaper. They're not any cheaper. They just may be more available, right?
Got it.
Don't dismiss people because they've been laid off. Like layoff.io or layoff.io is a good resource. So you can find the companies who've laid off people, right? Like again, I generally don't weight brands, somebody doing marketing at Uber thinking they're very successful, because fuck, I don't think it's a marketing person at Uber that makes Uber successful. It's Uber, right? Like, it's the business model. It's the execution, right? So I think those are really important. So I usually don't hire brand name marketing people or people that worked at a good brand. In fact, I take that as a negative sign. But you can absolutely find the right people. And having done it twice before doesn't actually mean in their same role, right? Like they could be a marketing manager or an entry, like an individual contributor. They could be a marketing manager, director of marketing, and then like maybe they're VP at your company, right? So they have to have experienced the world of which your goal is the next 1 or 2 years before twice over, so that they're not like overwhelmed by it. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And that they kind of know like fundamentally what it looks like to be successful and not successful. Cause you know, marketing is still not like a guarantee that you, even if you hire the best person, that it's going to work. So like, but a good marketer should be able to call out 3 months in that something's not going to work. Like, oh fuck, we're gonna miss our numbers this year. Let's adjust our approach. So somebody should be able to call out failure. So anyways, going back to step three on the test assignment, a good one is like, hey, audit my competitors. Like, or like what Square does, Square's, you know, that payment processor, yeah. They do a bunch of stuff, right, in the fintech space. What they do is say, hey, we're gonna go launch a new product. They just make up one, right? Go, like, give me my go-to-market strategy for that product, right? So now, big company like Square has a brand. They're going to launch a payroll product. Okay, go market that. So a good marketer should be able to, in 5 to 7 hours a weekend, should be able to tell you who the players in the space are, who the top players are, what they've done to get there. And this might not be a fancy presentation. This might be 3 bullet points, right? They might tell you, if they're really savvy, how much they're spending on PPC. If they're really savvy, they won't just tell you what they do, what they look like now, but they'll look back at the progress over the last, like, let's say, 10 years, right? Like, so like Gusto's in the payroll space. They might will say, like, Gusto used to be called XYZ, and they really started ramping up in these 2 years, right? So they'll look at not just like what's presented now, but they'll tell you the historical growth of them. Most of this shit is accessible by third-party tools. I can go on SEMrush, Ahrefs. I can go on Crunchbase. I can take a look at like 5 or 6 tools and tell you what has happened, right? Like the growth rate in traffic. Now, it might be wrong, but like, or 100, not 100% accurate, but it'll give you a range of what happens.
Yep.
Now, if somebody comes back to you with 3 bullet points at 5 companies and you're expecting, and I just told you, you can do it, like historical growth of like the 7 or 8 players in the payroll space, when you got the wrong person, they didn't do enough work, right? Or maybe that's just their capability, right? So sometimes it's laziness, sometimes it's inability to go to that level that you need. Either way, they fail, right? And then the next step is an in-person interview. I don't care if you have remote employees, at this level, you need to meet somebody face-to-face and grab a beer, or do something casual, go on a run, like do something where you go to lunch or breakfast and then go do some extracurricular activity with them, like mountain bike. And you'll get to know them on that personal level and how you act. Like a good VP of marketing, you should be able to call on the weekend and say, hey, I got an idea. Am I crazy? And like, they'll want to be, you want to have that dynamic, and probably shouldn't call them on the weekend, but like, you know, you want to be able to have that dynamic because leadership team, right? And then test assignment number 2. This is one where you give them Google Analytics, you give them your, like, give them everything they need to look at your platform and say, what should we do for the next 90 days? What should we do for the next 6 months? 90 days, 6 months, whatever, any interval of time, ask them what they should do. If that game plan, with the knowledge they have, with talking to you 2-3 times, doing 2 different projects with you, doesn't align with what you're doing, then they're not the right fit. Now, reality is you probably only have 1 or 2, 3 people at step 4, right? Mm-hmm. So you're probably comparing against like good or better, or like this person may not seem like a fit. And anytime you feel kind of like this might not work, ping me or anybody, you any other person you know that's a good marketer, and show them what they've done. And if it doesn't make sense to another good marketer, or like they point out things they missed,
go back. I might have missed it. So test assignment 2 again, explain that one more time, how you frame
that.
So
test assignment 2 is after the in-person interview.
Yeah.
So you've hung out with them, you've grabbed a beer. The test assignment number 2 is now, can they, like, they've walked the walk, they talked the talk, can they do this for you now? Is to put together a go-to-market or 3 to 6 month marketing strategy of what they would do at your company. This is where people fail all the time. Like I've been asked this question multiple times earlier on in my career, and I lay flat on my face, because this is where like you can, like, this is where people who can talk a good game and do stuff at a surface level, like an audit, right? And test assignment number 1, yes, a lot of people can go and look at your competitors and see what it looks like. But then, like, when you have to put all the pieces in place for your company And right. a good marketer should tell you, should ask you questions like, hey, what's my marketing budget? How many people can I hire?
Yeah, like, I was going to ask, how much directionality do you give them on test assignment number two, or are you asking for a go-to-market strategy?
Ask, tell them, don't tell them more than you need. So I want a go-to-market strategy. We need to be able to execute to this for the next 3 or 6 months. And just give them a specific time frame. I say 3 or 6 because 3 might not be enough for depending on your business. And then say, ask me any questions you want. Happy to, I'll give you Got anything. It. So don't offer analytics. Don't offer everything. Give it to them if they ask. If they
you're looking for their ability to ask questions and probe as much as the assignment itself.
Exactly. Because a good marketer, well, never ever do you have the full picture, right? As a marketer, your job is half investigator, detective, yes. you know, trying to figure shit out as much as it is the plan to do it.
I love yeah. this. This would save me so much fucking money. Yeah.
Yeah. It pretty much, it's putting back on you the work, but you get 2 people, 3 people through at step 4. I've never seen a process where more than that many people make it through even step 2. Again, you know, step 1 is a pretty high friction ask, but you pay for their time. And if people aren't willing to do the work, because a lot of executive marketing people are used to being headhunted, right? They're used to being like, oh, I want to choose the company I work at. I don't want to put any work. Fuck it. Like, those guys are just not the right fit for like savvy e-commerce founders. Like, no, you want people who are willing to do the work. Because if they're not willing to do the work then, talk about a year or two from now, right? So
I'm getting but, angry looking at these because I made so many mistakes and this would
have, I know.
This would have stopped well, almost all of them. And it just cost me so much time and energy. This is amazing. All right.
Well, if it helps you to know I've made all these mistakes.
I'm having flashbacks right now. All right.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple questions. These are like, use all of these if you want, use some of them. These are my questions in my 15-20 minute interview in the early part or in person. How do you keep up with digital marketing? They should fucking say, go to conferences, watch YouTube videos, read blog posts. They should tell you blog posts that you are aware of or, you know, stuff. If they don't have a good answer here, you'll know it. You know, your gut will kick in. What's your strongest channel? Meaning, what's their strongest marketing channel, right? Like, I know myself, I've been doing this for 15 years. I know SEO is my bread and butter. I can tell you that. If somebody's hesitating here, that generally means they don't have one. Because there's no one is ever good at 15 channels, right? We learned that in the T-shaped marketer, you can't be. What's your most successful marketing campaign? Ask this question specifically in the phone interview and you'll weed out everybody from this with this question. Like, if somebody's like, oh yeah, I built like a social campaign and it got X amount of impressions. Well, fuck it. Like, that's not revenue. If this is not revenue generating, then it's the wrong answer. If it's not, I did X and I generated Y yeah. revenue, they're done. And you want to do this after that 1 to 2 hour consulting project, because they've gotten trust in you and they're less likely to lie to you at this point. If you ask this early on, I mean, I could tell you a fake answer too, right? Like, what's to stop somebody from lying? But after they've like worked with you, you've paid yeah. them money, the dynamic changes. Like, you don't lie to your clients. You could lie to prospective clients, right? Like, you don't lie to people you know, really, or generally speaking, right? Another one is, how do you change a CEO's mind? What you want to know is, does whatever the heck they say sound like something you would respond to? Because I've seen scenarios where when people disagree with you, they get really petty, right? And, you know, as a CEO, you might have to pull rank. Sometimes, or you might be the guy who comes with a stupid idea and you need somebody to walk you off that ledge, right? Either way, they need to be able to work with you. And again, if they are, a lot of times people can get childish, and that's just not a good way.
If you have to tiptoe around, like, where it's your VP of marketing because of their feelings, you got a problem.
Exactly. And just learn it early on, right? And you can even just say it like, we're going to get in disputes. How are you going to handle this?
I love that. That's amazing.
A good VP of marketing should have worked with a salesperson, a product or development, a developer or development team, in the past? If they haven't, get them off your list. Like, that should be a very early question on that you get them out there. Specifically sales, because some of the most impactful marketing stuff I've done in my career actually have been implementing sales processes, mm-hmm. just so like the marketing and sales kind of touch together and have a better working flow. So my most successful marketing stuff has been from doing good and working with salespeople, not driving X traffic or whatever. And then the last question is just make up a company, like a real company, ask them to explain how they do their marketing. Like, how does Nike do marketing? Now that's too big of a company. Like, they do too many things. Well, I could tell you how Nike does marketing. I read freaking Phil Knight's book, right? They talked about how they got really early on. They got into the running club and athletics, and they get their athletes to be doing their marketing. They invest in their communities. And so, like, okay, I read that book. Maybe not everybody's read that book. So find a company that's like a middle ground, not too big, not too small, right? Not Apple, but maybe your competitor.
Right.
Any good marketer should be able to like, hang on, let me look this up. Let's go do some digging together. Like, I could be on a call with you and just literally in 10 minutes, find the answer and explain it to you. Now, maybe you want to have them get back to you on that, but
yeah,
either way, either way, they should be able to answer this in 10, 15 minutes.
You're good.
All right. So I answered some of these questions already. And I've kind of gone through this presentation part because of the way the screen sharing worked, but on my end, but yeah, this is kind of some more detail. Like, again, test assignment, 6 months, right? Share everything you want if they ask for it, right? If someone's like, hey, how much budget do I have? Tell them how much budget you have, or tell them to make an assumption. You know, people can work with assumptions. Give mm-hmm. them competitors, but only if they ask for it. And again, you're just disclosing.
I love it.
You're only disclosing what they ask you for, right? And the last part of this is ask them for not just have they work with sales or marketing and development, what they've done. Like, a good marketer said, like, oh, I implemented this, like, this checkout flow revision, or I implemented like some tracking, or like I've done something here and I work with Bob the developer and Joe the sales guy and we did this whole thing, right? So they should be able to articulate one or two examples, and if they can't, they're out.
This is amazing. So this is badass. I have one question, and then I'm going to bring Angelo Keeley in on video to ask you, because he runs all Ben Greenfield stuff. He's amazing, one of my best friends, and he's hiring like crazy. I want to bring him up in a second. But one question I have, some of this assumes that you know, because you're a very technical marketer. Like, I'm kind of known for marketing, probably overrated, but I could probably know my channels. But what if you're more like a David Roberts, who's more of a CEO type, you created your product creator guy, and this is physical products and the marketing stuff, you really aren't that deep, right? So when you're doing the matrix in your channels, some of the stuff presupposes that you kind of know it yourself enough to evaluate. What about when, you're the scientist, you know, you're the person, this is physical products, whatever, and you're just not that marketing person, and you don't already have somebody on your team, right, who's savvy, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
What do you do then? And then I want Angelo to come on.
Yeah, so I think what that happens a lot, obviously, right? Like, you're not the marketing person replacing yourself. You're looking for a person.
Yeah.
Go get one of those influencers and just ask them if they can help you vet people. Find a marketer who could help you vet.
Would you compensate them? Is there like a service besides a headhunter?
No, it's not really a service, but you'll find people are willing to do this. Ask them, hourly rates or a fee or whatever.
Yeah, if I was creating a SaaS, I would hire you to help me vet and train me out of that. And then you're saying that if I'm doing it for e-commerce or let's say supplement world, and let's say I didn't know marketing, which I'm sure I actually don't. I mean, that's the whole thing, is I'm kind of a 50-year-old has-been. So then hire somebody who's current, who's rocking it, saying, I don't want, you're already there. Can I help you, to set up my questions to help evaluate and then pay them or give them or buy them a dinner or send them on vacation or something?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, I always like to give experiences over monetary, value of dollars. Right. So like, if I want to go find somebody, like, hey, look, what do you want to try to do? Like, I'll pay for your next vacation. Right. Like, family vacation, like 5 to 7 grand, maybe 10. That's cheaper than any of this stuff, right? The other thing is you could ping, like work with your network, right? Like go to Baby Bathwater Community and just like ping other people who have hired a freaking good marketers and just ask them if they can help you vet, right? And make it easy for them. Like don't make them vet every little part of it. Like you should be able to do the first few parts, right? Like culling down the list to 10 should be always your job. Then the vetting process at like the level 2 part where like you give them their first test assignment comes into play.
Got it. Perfect. So Angela, you ready to get on video? So Angela just said he's critical that this is the best content we've had. So
awesome.
Is he in there or did he leave? Oh, there he is. Yay. He is. There he is.
To a panelist. I'm so
we have like 10 more minutes. Angela's my neighbor. Good friend. So I just want Angela to ask, and Angela's smart and in the weeds right now with hiring. So Angela, take it away. You're the host now.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Sujan. This was like, it's so detailed in so many places. I'm going to try to ask questions that aren't things that you talked about. And they're kind of specific to my business. Yeah. So the first one is like the specifics of our company. There's both like a media side of it where we generate revenue from affiliate and advertising deals. And then there's a whole side that's e-com. And we're intentionally developing both of those. So I'm looking for someone that's going to be able to lead this whole operation. And I guess one other thing I'd add into that too is we have a whole like, our CS team is a sales team, a phone sales team as well. So I'm trying to find one VP of marketing sales that's going to be able to oversee all of that. And when I was reflecting like on your T piece, it's like hard for me to decide like what are the most important strengths that they really need to have. Cause if they came in and they didn't get like the media side of the business and partnerships and affiliates and like that whole game, it'd be hard. At the same time, if they just didn't get e-com at all, it'd be hard. What we know is that like for sure the whole business is online. So
yeah.
Like, do you have any advice on how I might even just think about trying to tease out, you know, what's most important for their skill set coming in?
Yeah. So I think let me address the thing at the start, what you kind of touched on, which is sales and marketing, right? I've never found a good person that does both exceptionally well, like to the level you would want the marketer to be, or to the granularity you would want them to be on the call with your SDRs on the phone, or like giving, you know, call script feedback, right? Or coaching advice on sales teams. So I'd say choose which one you need more of. And for the, like, I usually would go with the marketing, like, VP and then like a sales manager or like a sales director, like somebody who can just be the people ops of it, right? And that VP has worked with sales managers, but not necessarily is one, right? The other thing you can do is hire coaches. Like at Mailshake and a lot of our SaaS companies, we don't have like, we have a very like senior marketing people, but not very senior salespeople. And we just hire sales managers and then we give them coaching. Like we use Jay Barrows and again, like other coaches, and we train them to be effective, knowing that they can't manage, or they can manage some people, but they can't manage like the strategy, right? Now, I think the affiliate versus e-com and different business models, I think you need to just find somebody who's done both in their past, like, experience, maybe not has done it twice for both sides. I think the affiliate side is probably a little, maybe this is just my opinion, but I think one is harder than the other. I think e-commerce is something a lot of people can learn about because there's just so much information out there. Where the affiliate stuff is like maybe that relationship and the whole like the behind closed doors conversations aren't as public. So maybe you want to find someone who's done that more and that has done e-commerce as well, but you're going to have to choose one or the other and you'll find somebody again, like, and supplement the other side with a good manager or a good individual contributor, right? Like I would say in what you're saying, the perfect structure would be a VP of marketing who knows that affiliate world and that whole media side, a good badass e-commerce marketer, individual contributor, and a sales manager. And they all kind of work together.
Great. That's helpful. So another thing that I'm like, I guess like fantasizing about them to get out of this person when I hire them is that they're going to be super quantitative. Cause like the thing that I feel like I most want from a marketer and leading the whole team is where should we be putting money? Like, where should we be investing resources? Like, why is this lead via the media brand going to be worth more than, you know, directly acquiring a customer from e-com or via this affiliate partner? And just being able to be very sophisticated and thinking through problems quantitatively and like on just the return on capital, like wherever we're putting money that it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I find like the types of people that you've been speaking of and like where I would find them. Well, I find someone that's like savvy in that business Excel kind of way.
For the most part, yes. I think a good marketing executive, and why I like individual contributors or managers, because it gets them out of the weeds a little bit, right? If I was in the weeds on sales, it'd be very hard for me to think quantitatively on like the projections and the best leads and whatever. But if I'm getting that feedback from my sales manager, I can think that way because it's not my day to day. And so I think, yeah, you could definitely find somebody who's quantitative. I think the part that's quantitative versus like the relationship side, you have to play with, right? Like it's just balancing the science and art, meaning like marketing is still both of those worlds. But it's like, which one do you want them to be kind of better at or swaying towards? I definitely think it's possible if you've kind of hired people who have been, and you can have been in a role where they're doing a lot of reporting, right? So I think look for that, right? Say, hey, like what kind of reporting do you, like in the conversations, maybe the first test assignment is like, hey, like how do we build me a business dashboard? Like how do I even do this at my company, right? That might be a good test assignment. And just again, to if that's your concern, to kind of address that concern early on. But just be careful here, because somebody's really good at the reporting and presentation and the data side generally is going towards the hands-off approach and more on the reporting what happens, not impacting what happens or driving what happens. So just look for that. Can they drive what happens too?
That makes sense. And to be, I guess, clarify for you on our relationship side, it's less like someone who's going to have all the affiliate type relationships, but that just gets and understands that world is what I'd be looking for. And then, I guess on the other relational point, like we have a super slow hiring process, and it's many, many stages of interview process to where we just build like this, like a cult of people. Like the culture is just super, super strong. And it's very, it's lots of ambitious younger people that are trying to grow. And so I'm also trying to find someone that's going to have, not only good like performance metrics and be like a really good manager in that way, but also can like be a leader and coach these people and help develop them. Is that asking for too much? Can I find this like kind of thoughtful, quantitative, like let's make decisions on like what makes the most money, not like what's the coolest, most creative idea that can also lead and coach up a team of more, you know, to coach up someone to be our e-com director and coach up someone to be more like our content and brand director and like the leadership coaching side of it.
Yeah, I think you're going to you probably can. It's just their willingness to want to do it. It really comes down to that. So I think you're going to just have to figure out alignment on the culture, right? Sound like it's a company culture, but also like is this person's personality or approach, like, are they the mentor type, right? I think what you need to do is get somebody who's the mentor type as well, right? Like that, what you're describing is I'm like a mentor type. Like I'm not actually a good manager. I'm a good mentor. I just figure out goals where they can manage themselves and then mentor them into, you know, success or failure. Find someone like that. That's more of a mentor than just a manager. You've added a lot. You've added a lot to this list, right? And so just knowing, going forward, just know that you're going to have to sacrifice some things. No one's going to be a 10 out of 10 on all these things, but I would just rate them of what's important. And then like 10 here, you know, 5 here, 6 there, and have a minimum 6, you know, like, are they any good level? Like, okay, I don't want anyone under 7 on this part, right? But you can definitely find somebody who's like an e-commerce marketer, who's done affiliates in the affiliate stuff in the past, work with sales, because maybe their e-com deals were bigger or, you know, the affiliate side was where there was salespeople involved. I think you can find someone there. Now, the reality is in your world, you're going to probably your list of candidates is going to be very small from the start because you have a lot of criteria, and that's okay. Totally cool for that to be there.
Does that just mean though I might have to pay a premium too? And I don't mind. Like, again, I'd rather pay someone, you know, 25% more, but actually have them be able to hit more of all the points than try to get away with paying someone 120 and it's like, they yeah, can't really do it.
You're definitely not going to be on the lower end. You're probably going to be in the high hundreds. Yeah, for sure. And then remember, just always use the base and then comp, like up the comp on goals, right? Make them put their money where their mouth is, right? Mm-hmm. So put it back on them to earn that money. It's not uncommon. Another thing, I don't think I've mentioned this.
Can I ask for clarification on that though? It's like, yeah. Is the base you're saying in the, like the high 100s and then the, you know, the incentives are on top of that? Or like, could I do 150 plus a small slice of equity plus, you know, incentives?
Yeah.
And get like, I realize I'm kind of asking for like a superstar that has different backgrounds. Like, is that asking for too much or?
I don't think it is, because I think the person, remember, you don't need somebody with like 20 years experience doing this, right? You really need someone with like 5 to 10 years, somewhere in that range. So it's really their seniority and their kind of in their business. But yeah, I would say like 150 to 170 is probably the right range to start up with the base, and then somewhere between 25 to 50K in comp based off goals or whatever.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, we're on 3 minutes. This is cool.
This is awesome.
He's in the group now. And I'm, so Angelo's from Austin, by the way. He's my neighbor here in Boulder. Sujin's in Austin. So cool. You guys be hanging out soon enough.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Well, thanks for the questions. I think they're great.
Thanks for doing this. This is, man, I'm having flashbacks. I had a hard time listening after a while. I was having flashbacks of all my mistakes. And how
I literally was like slacking my team and like our HR manager. And I was like, you have to watch this video. And our, like, and yeah, my, like, and everyone, get as many people as I can on my team.
I've just made a mistake. Anyway, yeah, this is good timing. And yeah, I just want to kick myself. Well, thank you, though. Thank you again. This is amazing.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And open invitation to any of the babies. Ping me on Facebook or email me, and I'm happy to, like, help you, like, give you feedback on a person you're thinking of hiring, or, like, this person's good, or, like, anything you're doing in this process or, you know, hiring marketers, I'm happy to give you feedback on. My sniff, like, I can weed out people really quickly, so, like, my sniff test will be very, very short. Like, no, this person's weak. Go poke around this hole, right? So happy to do that for anyone here.
I have a third nostril.
There you go.
I can whiff weed people. Awesome. Thanks again.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Right. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Take care.